Journal entry or transfer.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
They wanted us to go ahead and void that other check.
Move to void check number 466149.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Approval of previous meeting minutes for regular session minutes, December 30th, 2021, and January 4th, 2022, and executive session minutes for December 30th, 2021, and January 4th, 2022.
Do you have any question on the executive?
Nope.
Nope.
Move to approve the executive session minutes for December 30th, 2021, and January 4th, 2022.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Any question on the regular?
I don't.
Move to approve the regular minutes for December 30th, 2021 and January 4th, 2022.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Application for reconsideration, Lifestyle Contractors, LLC. Mr. Finkenbinder, I've got an email, I believe, from your law firm that you're requesting a reconsideration on a rezoning application.
Yes, sir. And I don't know if the entire commission got my actual application itself. Okay. I had.
Do you have the application?
No.
He sent an email.
Did you send it?
He sent it to the commission in an email.
To each of us.
I've got
it. If you don't mind, hands off, yeah.
Let me make a couple notes.
Well, did you send it to us individually or did you send it to the office? The
I sent it to the office, yes, to Nikki.
Okay.
I apologize.
No, you're fine.
But I can give you this. Let me just take a quick couple notes.
Nope, I think we've got it right here. Does that sound right?
It does.
I've got it right here.
1221.
Yep. I think I'd sent it to both Nikki and Travis. Mm-hmm. Both.
And it's for two parcels. Parcel numbers
8828
both of those are under the name of Lifestyle Contractors LLC.
Yes, ma'am. That's the entity that currently owns the tracks. Were you able to find it, Mr. Schofield?
I got it.
Okay. You guys just tell me when you want me to start talking.
I'm ready for you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, first I'll start by saying that I want to make an apology to the board. I think that the last time, the original hearing, there was a representative who does not, who kind of came on last minute notice. I think his name's Greg Richards, and from what I understood, maybe he wasn't the most tactful in his presentation is what I had heard. So to the extent he said some things he shouldn't, I apologize. If he was combative in any way, I'll apologize on our behalf. But this, I guess first I'll take the legal aspect of it, and I know Travis isn't here today, but I had spoken with him in advance on this. And so while I'll admit that the code doesn't have a particular process for rehearing denied applications, there is some guidance, at least within the Board of Adjustment procedures portion of it, section 26B, and it sets a standard for rehearing applications that are denied, and so we kind of followed that standard. I would state that the code does not prohibit in any way a rehearing, so there's nothing that would prohibit the commission from rehearing my application rather than having to go back through planning and zoning. Really, the evident the standard that I'm pushing today is that there's a section under that Board of Adjustments procedures that states that a new hearing can be given when new evidence is discovered or was not presented at the original hearing that's discovered subsequently. And that's the standard that we're relying on primarily, and I'll take them in reverse order that's explained in my application. I think the first one that we were somewhat at a disadvantage at the original hearing was there was some opposition to the hearing from Redbud Condominium, and their primary one of their primary objections, in addition to what you normally hear on objections to short-term nightly rental, was some issues regarding a well. And that well, we just didn't know that that was going to be a subject or topic of discussion at that hearing. So one of the things that I'd like to be the basis of the rehearing is to the extent that that's a factor in the commission's decision, we should be able to present at the rehearing, if the commission does grant my request to have a rehearing, at that I think that we'll be able to address those concerns regarding the well specifically. Both from a legal and a practical aspect, there is a shared well between two condominiums, and there is a recorded document that talks about the responsibility of that well. I think the bottom line is here is that this is not going to be a financial concern for the county. I think primarily that's one thing. To the extent there was any confusion on how would this impact to the county in terms of water, there would be should not be any financial impact. This is a private party agreement between two condominium developments. Briarwood Condominium is responsible for what's not just 50%, it's a pro rata share. So the way that would work is if we were, regardless of whether we built new condominium units under a short-term rental basis or a long-term rental basis, even if they were built for whole ownership and you just had long-term residents there, if we built, let's say, five more units on Briarwood, Briarwood's going to become, their responsibility is going to grow financially under that agreement. And so to the extent there are capital improvements that need to be made of the well, whether it's a pump that goes out, it needs to be completely replaced, a new well needs to be dug, whatever the case, our responsible for payment is going to go up. And so We acknowledge that. We recognize that to the extent that there's any issues. That's a contractual agreement between those two parties. And Lifestyle, as a declarant and the owner of potentially new units, has every intention of abiding by that. Right now, we're trying to figure out what the capacity is for the well and what additional capacity it can take on. And as soon as we have that, a better idea of that, we'll know what's going to be required in the future to the extent we build these units out. So I think that's one thing that maybe wasn't presented, and hopefully by the time the commission grants my request, by the time we reconvene, I should have more information on what that well's capacity is, and I'd be more than happy to walk through maybe some of the specific legal requirements to the extent the commission has questions about it. The second thing, I think new evidence has kind of come. I think that by now, I know the commission knows about it by now, but if you rewind back to November, excuse me, since there were other applicants that have since come in and gotten rezoned on their particular units, I know now the commission has probably a little bit more background information on this resort or on this development. But if you rewind back to November, I think originally maybe, again, Greg Richards on our behalf did not present it very well in terms of some of the history with the property and what it was. So while I'll recognize and fully admit that this has never been zoned as short-term nightly rental, I think Scott can tell you that that zoning designation is fairly new. And when this resort was kind of, when it switched from I think you guys know by now, it was a lakeside resort for many years, as far back as I can remember, certainly since the early 90s, perhaps before that. I'm not really sure when that original lakeside resort began. But so you had what I call transient guests staying there from the early 90s. And if you look at the zoning around it, it's similar. It's only on one side of the south is there residential. Everything else around it is commercial, higher density residential. And so I think, one, it's consistent. This request would be consistent with what surrounds it. But kind of the history of the property, what we'd be requesting in the rezoning hearing, again, should you grant my request today, it would be consistent with the history of the property, if you will. And then going back to when this resort changed, the resort was torn down, it was taken out, and in 2006 and 2007 was when it was converted into a condominium. And at that time, the condominium declaration, again, not binding on you, we acknowledge that, it doesn't bind you guys at all, or the commission, but there was a declaration that was recorded that said that anticipated nightly rentals, and that was the original intention. And probably because of that, without permission, perhaps, I don't know the full history on that, nightly rentals did begin back at that time or fairly shortly thereafter. People probably, some maybe just a few unit owners, maybe some more than others, probably assumed that because the declaration permitted it, that it was permitted. When nightly rentals became more popular, obviously in the county did quickly develop a process, as you guys know, a conditional use permit. And that, I do not know how many unit owners prior to the zoning request had conditional use permits out there. Maybe none. I don't know. But nevertheless, it had been consistently used, at least somewhat. There were some unit owners within this development from 2007 forward, when the first unit was developed, that were using it, maybe not full-time, but at least on some basis during the year's nightly rentals. And then the unit owners, as you saw from the last hearing, where some of their units were approved, they're probably because they're